Welcome to Implement This with Microsoft Business Solutions MVP Britta Rexted and co-host Matthew C. Anderson, where we have an insider's discussion around the things we consider when implementing Dynamics 365. In today's episode, sponsored by Maplytics by Enaugic, Britta and I discuss the Power Platform from the perspective of someone who has a background in Dynamics CRM or Dynamics 365. Maplytics by Enaugic is a market-leading, certified for Microsoft Dynamics 365 geoanalytical mapping app. Maplytics empowers users with powerful map visualization and routing capabilities within Dynamics CRM to drive better sales, improve business process, and engage the right customers at the right time. Maplytics now works with Dynamics 365 version 9 and Dynamics 365 app for mobile and tablet. Enaugic is a leading Microsoft Gold Dynamics CRM ISV, delivering best-in-class Dynamics 365 solutions, as well as cost-effective and high-quality programming services. We thank Enaugic for their sponsorship, and now on with the show. And now we're back with another episode of Implement This. Hi, Britta. How are you?
Good, Matt. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I'm excited to be here in the new year, new recording, new.
New. Same us, though.
Same old us.
Well, kind of. Actually, we're about to change everything in this episode. So,
well, kind of change everything, but not change a whole lot. It's just there's been a lot of change in the dynamic space, the business application space over the last, you know, year and a half specifically. I mean, while we've been in the midst of doing this podcast.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there has and there hasn't. It's been brewing for a long time. And I think the motivation behind it and the intention has always been there in the way that we've used the platform. It's just there's so many formal things and so many names. We should be using the right names now. So I think we should level set a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
well, let's look, should we
the audience?
Yeah. Should we start with our audience then?
Yeah. I think that'd be good.
We've always, you know, tried to describe it, at least as we talk to ourselves or put it on our website, that we're kind of geared toward Dynamics administrators or power users has been like that core focus of what we've been looking for. But like there have been some other terms that have come up over time that are like the you know, now in vogue terms that we have. So what are we looking at?
So additional terms that you're going to hear a lot, not just on this podcast, are now the terms of maker and citizen developer.
Mm.
And those are in reference to the Power Platform, which Dynamics is now part of the Power Platform. So kind of a different thing to wrap your head around there. I'm making lots of hand gestures, which hopefully you can hear, and they're very helpful to you. But what's really interesting and I find really exciting is I've been advocating for a while that an admin keeps a system alive. That's their job. It's not necessarily their job to grow it, to make design decisions, to be automating it and changing it. It's their job to keep it alive. And I still believe that. And I like these terms because they help define that and make a place for people who like to tinker and make new things. And so makers and citizen developers help add to that. And I'd love you, Matt, to tell your story about how you are a maker, even though you're not an admin anymore.
Maker / citizen developer,
if
you will. But you know, at Microsoft, we absolutely use the Dynamics platform to be able to manage our sales cycle. And as a technical seller, I'm responsible for a number of different, you know, activities and managing things like technical close plan and really driving that technical sale stuff forward. The people who manage our instance of Dynamics don't really design it with somebody in my role in mind. I mean, it's primarily for the pure sellers or the account teams or that type of thing and what their experience is like. But as somebody who knows this platform really well, this Power Platform really well, it is, you know, it's something where I like to be able to make my life easier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the traditional kind of administration experience, traditional system administration experience, where you would have to have a privilege of being either a system customizer or a system administrator previously, is not something that they dole out to the, you know, thousands of people in technical selling roles.
What?
Right?
Why not? That sounds like such a good idea.
But for me, you know, I wanted to be able to tailor the experience for the things that I was most interested in. So instead of having to go to like three or four different screens for something, I could go to one and kind of manage my day from there, from a CRM system perspective. So I built out a Canvas app to be able to interface with our existing instance of Dynamics. So, you know, using that that connector that's part of the Power Platform to be able to connect to the opportunities and accounts and related technical selling records that I'm responsible for, and kind of stitched these together. And then I also built in kind of a way to be able to open up from it. Like if I had our CRM open, I could launch my Canvas app from our instance of Dynamics. But I had to be able to come up with a way to do that that didn't involve having the ability to like put a button into the menu, because I'm not a system administrator. Mm-hmm. I'm not a system customizer. So, yeah. You know, there I'm using things like a bookmarklet, so that I have literally a bookmark up in my browser window. So if I'm on a record in our CRM, I can click that to open up kind of the Matt's app version of it. And then I have it going the other way too, where if I'm looking at it in the app, I can open up the actual CRM if I need to go in there and manage things that way.
So cool.
Yeah. So for me, it was this great, you know, experience of being able to take things that took going to several different screens and kind of putting it into one place for me to be able to do it.
That's really awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, again, doing all this without having the permissions of being a system administrator or a system customizer or some special role like that, just because there are so many different people, and the people who do the true administration of the system and management of all these different people and roles and, you know, account alignment and role alignment and security across, you know, thousands and thousands of people, they can focus on, you know, kind of that piece of it, and I can focus on making the thing that helps me.
Mm-hmm. And you were able to do that because every action you're taking in the Power App you built is something you could do yourself manually.
Exactly.
Inside Dynamics. It's just giving you a way. So you're not... You weren't circumventing the security model or doing anything scary. So for all the admins who are shaking in their boots at the thought of someone like Matt going rogue, you actually are not getting away with anything.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is I was able to share that same app out with other people in the same role. And when they open up that same app, they're connecting using their credentials to get into these same systems. So if I tried sharing it with somebody else who didn't have access to our CRM system, it wouldn't do anything for them. They couldn't actually get in. Mm-hmm. And also if, you know, I have access to some records, they have access to other records, they're not able to see anything that way. So I'm not, again, to your point, I'm not circumventing anything by building this, but I can create that. I can share it with other people on my team to be able to make a easier experience for all of us in working with it.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of the answer to anyone who has been young and peppy and had too many ideas and someone pat you on the head and said, knock yourself out, kid.
Did you just call me young and peppy?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. But if you've ever been that person that they're like, knock yourself out, kid, you know, you go solve that problem by yourself. That's really what it's for.
So, you know, throughout that explanation, there are a number of different terms that I know I threw out there, and probably some others that have come up as... You know, we've kind of had this reframing or relabeling of the business application platform. So, mm-hmm. You know, traditionally we heard a lot of Dynamics CRM and then maybe Dynamics 365. We've heard terms like XRM in the past, but a lot of these have changed. So I'd like to kind of, you know, identify what some of the current state is, you know, just both for the conversation of kind of here moving forward within our podcast, but also looking back at some of the previous discussions we've had, and how to be able to do that translation, mm-hmm. if you're interested in making that connection between them.
Yeah, it sounds great.
So, you know, one of the first things that I would like to say is that the world got a whole lot bigger in the business application platform, and there are a lot more kind of tools that are available. But while that can seem kind of scary, especially if you've been maybe an on-premise customer previously, or you've just been working in the sales app or the service app in Dynamics 365, it's not actually fundamentally changing a lot of those core concepts that you're working on, though there are a lot more kind of nuanced labels to them. And the way I like to think about this is, you know, we've had I think of it in terms of abstraction layers. So stick with me here.
Okay.
So, you know, any system that's being built like this or being deployed, whether it's software as a service or something that you're even building custom, you know, in-house for yourself, there's some level of abstraction that's going on there where people don't really know all the stuff that, you know, all the gears that make things go behind the scenes. And, you know, in Dynamics, that the layer of abstraction hasn't changed all that much for us. We've always been able to think of things in the same way. And one of the biggest kind of fundamental shifts that happened within Dynamics, you know, and this goes back 2 years at this point, is this idea of Dynamics 365 and not just CRM and finance and operations being separate things, but being part of a core business application platform. And that same kind of core concept of having these under the same umbrella is something that for people who have been used to the abstraction layer of, you know, everything within, you know, CRM for much of our audience, it can be kind of confusing, or it doesn't seem like those things can fit together. So one of the kind of core aspects in this, as I look at people going kind of from that old world to this newer one, is there's this idea of the common data service and the common data model that we have. And this is really that place where we have a layer of connection and logic that brings applications together. Now, those applications could be, you know, traditional customer engagement or, you know, sales, service, marketing type of apps, field service, marketing type of apps, or even finance and operations type of apps. But what we've seen that grow to over time is different experiences. So we'll talk a little bit more here in a bit about Flow, about Canvas apps and those types of things, but each of these become extensions to that logical layer of being the common data service. Now, when you see and hear common data service, you might hear common data service for apps and common data service for analytics. And these are related things. They're both common data service, but they are a little bit distinct in the way that anytime you're building an application for a large scale of people, if you build toward like end user, you know, being in the system type of transactions, and you want to get good performance, you have to build that and put it together in a very specific way. And that's very different if you're going to be doing like large scale analytics, reporting, analysis of that information. So we have kind of these competing needs that are out there. And that's where you know, we have this distinction between the common data service for apps and common data service for analytics. And the shared language that they have is our common data model. And that is the entity relationship metadata structure that is kind of serviced by each of those common data services, whether it's for apps or for analytics.
Oh, okay. So going back to that abstraction layer, I wonder if you can define that in another way, because we've thrown out a lot of new terms, and I don't want anybody to be overwhelmed, especially because they can't see all of the gesturing going on in the studio tonight. So how would you define that for someone who has only known the world of CRM? Let's say they're coming from on-premise, they've only known that. What are their first three steps away from what's familiar right now?
So for people who are used to that, when I think of kind of old language versus new language, you know, one of the things that's been, you know, sitting in the periphery and had kind of high points and low points of how much it was used is this concept of XRM. Or anything relationship management. And that, think of that as like, you know, with my abstraction layer example, that becomes kind of the foundation of so many different things within the platform. And that XRM was where you could build anything that you wanted to on top of, you know, what was then just called CRM. That was the abstraction later, is, you mm-hmm. know, CRM was XRM and you could build anything on top of it. Well, if you think of changing that abstraction layer, we have, you know, XRM is still kind of that same core idea, but we think of it more as now the Common Data Service in its kind of its core glory.
Mm-hmm.
And CRM workloads, things like sales, service, and so forth, are really just specific apps that have been built on top of that Common Data Service. So if you think of, you know, XRM for sales was the CRM sales module, mm-hmm. right? So when you think of that changing kind of abstraction layer, there are fewer things that are in that core XRM or that core Common Data Service. That really got svelte in what it was pulled down to. And what that allows us to do as we think of that, you know, kind of everything from data modeling to citizen developers to makers of all different stripes, their ability to start to work with that foundation. And there's a lot fewer things that you have to learn to be able to start building things on top of the Common Data Service for applications. You can basically get started with it with a much shallower learning curve to be able to kind of make things go for you.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So building on top of that that layer, we have a lot of applications we can play with now. And for those of us who are on that maker, citizen developer, tinkerer side of things, they're really exciting. And we've dabbled in these a little bit on the show,
mm-hmm.
But I want to take some time to talk about them some more. And also anytime I've seen when there are tools that do similar things, then it almost becomes this competitive conversation.
Yeah.
Flow versus workflow, you know, Canvas apps versus just the regular UI. And that it isn't, I don't know that that's necessarily needed to do that, but let's talk about it.
Yeah, definitely.
So Power Apps has gone some really, really exciting directions.
Yeah.
Back from when it was just Project Sierra or Sienna at the time, which was, did you ever play with Project Sienna?
A little bit. I inherited a Project Sienna app at one point.
It was really cool. It blew my mind. Mm-hmm. I was just totally in love. So it's really exciting since we have these Canvas apps. That's like what you built. Let's say you wanted to put something on a tablet or on your phone and take it with you. Maybe you need to blend together a couple of systems, not just your Dynamics data, but something else. A Canvas app gives you that ability to design an interface, even if you're very artistically challenged like me,
mm-hmm.
Versus a model-driven app would be much more process-driven without needing a... At first, they didn't make sense to me what the difference would be, why I would ever want to build a model-driven.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the beauty of model-driven is sometimes you don't need this really intense UI experience.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is all about the process, and it's all about getting from point A to point B. And there's a lot of automatic features we can lean on there and not have to slow down and build pages for everything and buttons and color coding and all those things.
So you're absolutely right. And as we look at this and start hearing things like Canvas app and model app, what's interesting is over the course of the last year and a half, the definition of a power app has really changed, because now power apps include both model apps and Canvas apps. But if you started playing with Power Apps, say a year ago, it was what you were using was really just a Canvas app.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, part of what I think for some people the challenge in differentiating between these was is they seemed very kind of walled off from each other.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed like different families of things and didn't really have a cohesive relationship between them. So, you know, as you hear, you know, if you see anything written out there and it just talks about Power Apps and the Power Apps designer and those kinds of things, more likely than not, it's, you know, it's describing something that is now considered to be a Canvas app. And that's mm-hmm. where you get that kind of, you know, pixel perfect designer experience where you have it is like you open up, you know, like a PowerPoint type of form. You have that blank page sitting in front of you, and you can draw and design specific elements onto that and then connect it up to your data sources. That's where the, and then it's going to look the same on a mobile device or on a, you know, web browser window or embedded in another application, embedded in a Power BI dashboard, any of those kind of canvas apps or historically called, you know, power apps are going to give you that design experience. Mm-hmm. On the model app side, those have a heritage as well. And I mean, we've talked a little bit about that on Implement This, but you know, those are, if you've ever built a custom, you know, XRM style application inside of Dynamics, that's really what you're talking about with a model app today. Mm-hmm. With, you know, I would say based on some of the other kind of designer experiences that we've seen that have come into it, you know, take what we've been able to do in the past, put it on steroids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And similar to if you need just something to picture, start by thinking about a business process flow and then build from there. It's right. I mean, that's a very,
yeah,
that was my introduction to model driven apps.
Yeah,
obviously bigger than that.
I think, you know, when I think of model apps, business process flow is a huge one because mm-hmm. it helps kind of step the experience between those entities and those relationships. The other key piece of model applications for me is the fact that if you are modeling your data out through the common data service, and that's being stored, you know, through the metadata model in the common data model, mm-hmm. There are certain kind of there are quicker ways to be able to build a standardized looking application by using that model interface, because there are more regimented ways of how you would display things physically on the page, or how you would have a related list of records, or what the navigation paradigm is going to be. You get all that stuff bundled into your model application, and you get that benefit of using it kind of on top of the common data service and the modeling that you've done there. Whereas a Canvas app, it's all up to you. If you want the navigation to take people all over creation, you know, hopefully you've got either some good documentation or maybe a you know, something that steps them through it. But you're much more on your own in doing that, for better or worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, people have built games and Canvas apps. I mean, there's so many beautiful things you can do. It does not have to make any business sense at all. It can mm-hmm. just be really beautiful. There's everything is available to you there.
And you know, to the same point of you can build your you can do your data modeling through the common data service, have that metadata model stored in the common data model, and you can front end that with a Canvas app. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, you aren't restricted to having to use a model driven app, you know, interface or that design paradigm mm-hmm. to be able to get to that information, because we have connectors to the common data service for a Canvas app to get to that same common data model.
Mm-hmm. And so you might have custom data. Let's say you have something really unique to your business, and sometimes the members of your team who are in sales, they need it. Sometimes you need it in customer service. Sometimes you need it in something that has nothing to do with sales or service.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have many different interfaces that all work with that data. So that's part of the beauty of it, is knowing that, you know, like accounts actually live in most areas of our system. We need accounts for everything. And so you're going to see the same account in your ERP that you're going to see in sales or customer service or something totally custom.
Mm-hmm.
And so the beauty of it is don't get overwhelmed that you have to make these decisions now about what kinds of power apps you're going to build. Data model what you need. And then you might have a very specific use case for a very small Canvas app. And then you might have a different use case for a model-driven app using that same data, or using that data and something else paired together.
Yeah.
But it's not, you don't start the decision with, well, I think I want a Canvas app, so what data should I model so I can mm-hmm. have a Canvas app? You know, it's the other way around.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the other things that I've really come to appreciate over time here as I've been working more with Canvas and model apps kind of in harmony with each other, is when you're doing that data model build out, you may have kind of the bones of your app that lives somewhere else. Like, it might be something that you've built out in SharePoint today that really, you know, go back in the time machine a couple of years, flip a coin. Should you have built it in SharePoint? Should you have built it in Dynamics? You know, you probably had someone who knew SharePoint and had built it out there. You can take that information. You can model that, or you can build a front-end interface using a Canvas Power App to be able to express that same, you know, application. And as people get used to using that, you can change out the engine that's sitting behind it, mm-hmm. kind of in a transparent way to them. Because once they're using that Canvas app, they don't really know what sits behind it.
Yeah.
So if you want to start kind of moving that into a more common structured repository for that data, you can start to move that over to the common data service as part of that, and it's transparent to the users.
Mm-hmm.
And there are reasons why you may want to do that, both from a management standpoint, as well as from a citizen developer empowerment standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And a good example that I can point to for that is for people who are, you know, think of it that maker who's going to be at the other end that has a business problem that they want to be able to solve. There are things that you can do with the Common Data Service in building out things like business rules and logic and validation and things that are going to happen at the Common Data Service layer as somebody's interacting with it. And you can enforce certain types of rules at that layer when people are connecting to it. And you take the requirement and the burden, and also remove some of the risk that you have that a maker is going to go out there and create an app that only gets, you know, 3 of the 10 key pieces of information that you need to have because they thought they'd go build out a specialized front end for them. Like, if you build a Canvas app that is connecting to your data model through the Common Data Service, and you have explicitly called out, you know, specific required fields, you try to save that record through a Canvas app, it's going to blow up at you if you don't have your required fields out there. Additionally, if you have, you know, kind of logic validation, maybe automatic calculation of fields, you know, go back, listen to our episodes on calculated fields and roll up fields and those kind of things. You get all of those, and the rules that apply to how the data gets, you know, rolled up or calculated is going to apply in any person's Canvas app. So they don't have to try to build that logic into their Canvas app if you have those business rules, that business logic layer built into your data model as you're building it out there. And that's the beauty of the Common Data Service for applications, is you start to have those types of controls that, like, your business analyst team, your IT team are going to want to have in there for various reasons. And you can still empower a maker to go out and you know, tailor and build out that front end experience that makes sense for them in how they're going to be operating day to day.
Oh, it's just like your example of what you've built for yourself. You have to still use the tool the way it's designed. So if you have required fields, you have to use them. If there's something you can't get away with in security, you still can't get away with it, but you got to design your own experience for it.
Yeah.
I think something that's important to circle back on is that if you already understand how solutions work, and I just mean if you know how to go into the solution and, like, update security rules or, you know, do a lot of these basic things, you actually know a lot more about how to do this than you probably think you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's also why, if you're already online, you may have noticed that now when you open a solution window, it says Power Apps at the top.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually, like I said, you're probably doing a lot more things that are familiar. You just maybe don't know that they're familiar. So
yeah.
I wouldn't be overwhelmed that these are things you have to learn all over again, or maybe you learned business rules already, but now it's like, oh man, I have to learn a whole new product now. You really don't. It is much more familiar than you might have guessed.
Yeah. And that's a great point of kind of the, that concept of the security modeling that your security role application that you're doing, you know, consider all of these, you know, different apps that people are going to be building. If you're building model driven applications, you have this easy access to be able to do that role based security and role based role based experience for mm-hmm. people in being able to connect those up to each other. And in that way, you know, I've found that people are more, you know, simply and cost effectively able to tailor those role specific experiences. Whereas before it was kind of like, good enough, just ignore those other areas that don't apply to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is so great for user adoption.
Right.
It's really nice to really give those clean, simplified experiences. Really helps a lot. And it's also, it applies, what's really cool for makers is that as you're pulling in connectors, not just things within the Power Platform, the obvious connectors, like Outlook, for example, and Dynamics, mm-hmm. but you could also be pulling in, you know, Twitter or, you know, there's hundreds.
SurveyMonkey is a great example.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
How many organizations use SurveyMonkey? Mm-hmm. And then it is a human being's job to take that SurveyMonkey data, manipulate it in some way, bring it and cross-reference it with something that sits inside of their CRM today, or mm-hmm. you know, some other internal custom app. You know, having that connector to a third-party service where you can ingest that data, transform it using something like Flow, mm-hmm. and having it land in the right place and, you know, regarding the right records inside of your system is, you know, just a you know, from when I put my hat on of when I used to be like in a true like corporate role, mm-hmm. you know, that was the kind of thing that I longed for, because mm-hmm. I was that monkey in the middle doing all the extra work of trying to make it fit.
Yeah. And something that's really beautiful there is that it's taking in all these security models into account. So if there's things, if I'm a user and there are some things that I can do in Dynamics and some things I can't do, and permissions that I have in SurveyMonkey and other permissions I don't have, when I go to make an application for myself in the middle, it's going to take into account all the security roles I have through all these various connectors. I'm logging in with my credentials. So if I'm going to pull in something from the Google Suite, I'm actually going to put in my Gmail credentials. I'm going to put in my SurveyMonkey credentials, and then it's just looking at what I'm already allowed to do manually. And then if I want to find a creative way with Flow to save myself 7 hours a week, it's going to let me, because if I could have done those things myself, there's no reason to prevent me from doing them in an automated way.
Yeah. Well, and there's from an IT perspective and from a data security perspective, there is a layer of control that you have where, you know, with all of these connectors, you can designate which ones kind of business sensitive data can mm-hmm. be transported between. And if somebody tries to go and create a Flow, for example, that pulls data from an approved, you know, business data source and move it to something that is not part of that whitelisted list, it's not going to allow them to publish that Flow. It's going to, you know, let them know, hey, this doesn't match the ABC data policy that we have. Mm-hmm. And then that's something where, you know, if there's a legitimate business need, they can, you know, take it for review to, you know, to be able to work through that. But that way the IT team can look at, you know, what are those combinations of data and business data and non-business data that we need to consider there. Mm-hmm. And that way, as they start setting loose with, you know, a maker or a citizen developer, they're not having to go through a long list of those rules or go check this wiki internally for which ones we allow and mm-hmm. kind of self-regulate or do a, you know, some sort of, you know, design review or that kind of thing. To do that, they don't have to be inserted at that same level.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or just give the blanket no
mm-hmm.
that sometimes gets handed out on things like this.
Yeah.
So it's nice. Create some freedom there. So we haven't really talked about Flow or Power BI yet. I feel like we need to at least fly by of those.
Because the Power Platform is Power Apps, Flow, and Power BI, mm-hmm. all sitting and working on top of the Common Data Service, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, we've done another episode on Flow. Gosh, it goes way back in our Implement This history.
Mm-hmm.
But the story's really only gotten better. It is the asynchronous workflow capability within the Power Platform to be able to, based on some sort of trigger, an action somebody took, a button somebody pressed, another system that got updated, to go through some series of steps and make other things happen automagically,
mm-hmm.
Based on the security permissions that somebody has who's invoked that thing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So what else around Flow, at least in this conversation, do you think we should cover?
I think for the context of this, it's just important to remember that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because as you're building things, naturally, imagine in your Canvas app that you built, there's things you want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to enter data, maybe about a meeting, and I want to go create an appointment for me. Or I want it to create some other kind of follow-up or trip something else in an entirely different system outside of the Microsoft stack.
Yeah.
So the power of Flow, I can say as a diehard workflow person, is the connectors. It's just mind-blowing. I still can't fathom how fast technology is moving now that we're already in a place that we have all this at our fingertips. I mean, I cannot wrap my head around it. It's amazing. So you have to factor that in. It's not just how do I get this to happen on my opportunity when this happens on my account. You got to think a little bigger.
Yeah.
But very exciting.
Absolutely.
And Power BI, we've had around for a while and a lot of resources on Power BI mm-hmm. to talk about there. But really a really beautiful visual engine to bring into this whole piece.
Yeah. And, you know, within the CRM audio network, I mean, Power BI and More is the name of a podcast that if you're not listening to it, there was actually recently a very pertinent episode here where they talked about the dashboard capabilities in the unified interface versus the classic interface. Some of what's changed, what you have control over, the good, the bad, and the ugly of some of that. They talk about entity-specific dashboards as part of that conversation as well. I'll link to it in the show notes as part of that. But, I mean, there's some rich capability within that Power BI platform. And then it's worth noting that whether you are from a user design experience, if you're building a Power app, whether it's Model or Canvas, you can bring Power BI visuals into the experience that you're designing. So you have that capability, and by that same token, you can drill into individual records within a model application from a Power BI dashboard. You can also do things like embed a Canvas app within a Power BI dashboard and take action on filtered down data that you're looking at directly from the dashboard itself without having to log into another system. And it's those types of like mashups mm-hmm. of things within the Power Platform where you could have that, you know, Power BI dashboard that's invoking flows and making things happen using a Canvas app, or you could have a model app that includes Power BI dashboards, as well as automatic calculations as you're making updates there and triggering flows as well. Like they all work together and fit together so nicely with each other.
Mm-hmm. I think if I can have you take away anything from this episode, it'd be to dream bigger, because you've probably at least walked past any of these things, and I want you to really think about them as all that they can be, not saying, okay, well, I already have dashboards in Dynamics 365 for Sales, so I could have prettier dashboards if I use Power BI. It's like, no, dream bigger.
Yeah.
You know, well, I have a mobile app, but I could build a different mobile app in Power Apps. Like, no. There's so much more than that. And your organization is so much more than that. You have so many data sources that you're using, and you have whatever it is that makes you unique. You're running an organization for a reason. There's something unique that you do that brings value into the world. And this gives you the ability to design all of that and bake it in and do a really good, efficient job at it. And so everything you know about the artist formerly known as CRM still applies.
Mm-hmm.
That's not lost knowledge, and you'll be pleasantly surprised how much you already know how to do. But definitely dream bigger because the Power Platform is amazing.
Yeah. So to all you aspiring makers and citizen developers out there, I love this message. Dream big.
Dream big. And then brag about it because we want to hear about it.
All right. So one thing that came back in, we got a little bit of listener feedback from one of our recent episodes. And that was specifically when we were talking about auditing. So this feedback came in defense of the good old out-of-the-box Dynamics 365 auditing engine.
Yeah.
And its capability around a couple of things in particular. One, if you do want to be able to look at finding out what a record used to look like and, you know, kind of roll back, even if there's manual intervention involved with rolling it back to what it had been at a point in time, the out-of-the-box auditing engine is great for that use case. It really does fit it well, where it doesn't necessarily fit with the new auditing capability that we kind of see in the grand new world.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that had come up is around the retention of that audit information over time. And you can choose to keep your audit log inside of, you know, kind of historic, you know, Dynamics or, you know, inside of the common data service for anything you're storing as long as you want to. You know, that information can just kind of keep building over time. Whereas when you go through the security portal within Office 365 and look at things there.
The new shiny one.
Yeah, the new shiny one. You don't have that same ability to just kind of keep everything forever right in that same place. So I appreciate people kind of chiming in with that feedback and bringing it forward. I honestly thought I did a little bit of defense of the good old fashioned auditing system in the episode, but I was told no, you weren't
you didn't have enough
of a spine over the whole thing, Matt.
Oh, so, wow. No. Okay. I'm fighting words.
So thank you to everybody who, you know, kind of continues to provide feedback, provide questions. We love responding and interacting with that, with all of you. I mean, that's why we do this.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of that kick out there, you know, find us on our website, implementthis.org, or on social media. And yeah, that's all I've got.
Great. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Implement This with Britta Rexted and Matthew C. Anderson. Do you have a business problem you'd like us to discuss on the show? Reach us through our website, implementthis.org, where you can also subscribe to the podcast. We're on Twitter, too. Britta is at MacGyverCRM, and I'm at MC Anderson. Thanks so much for listening.